pretty. Ain't exactly small. 4239 56. You can say it, you got it all.
blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
What's up, everybody? We're back here live, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, sponsored as always by Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. This is Jay Leno, Jersey Strong Jay, as you might know me on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse, and we are here live, right here from the one, the only, the Jersey Shore, and we're about a year, pretty much a year exactly removed from the devastating effects of Superstorm Sandy. I remember being here, right on Blog Talk Radio, doing Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, the day after Hurricane Sandy, man. That Tuesday night, we kept the show on the air, we went rolling, I did it by myself. It was a very heartfelt night for me, and here we are a year later doing it again, and that's what it's all about, folks. That is what it's all about. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio has got a jam-packed edition for you tonight. We'll be talking a little bit of Hell in a Cell, wrapping that up. Everybody's talked about it to death. We'll be talking about it, and we'll talk about Raw. Last week's Impact was a little bit on that. I wasn't a big fan of it. A lot of people weren't a big fan of Raw last night, so we'll have both sides of the coin. We're scheduled for 2 hours. We might go a little less than that. We might go more than that. Not really sure. We'll see how it flows. Also tonight, we will have the debut of a new segment on the show called The Greatest Promo Ever. And I will play for you one of the greatest promos of all time. We'll do it every week. And we will break down this promo. We will talk about it. We will discuss it. We'll talk about the effects that it had on the angle and why people think it is so great and know it is so great. So we'll have that later on tonight at about the hour mark or so. And stay tuned for that. It's a good one. And we're going to have a different one every week. So definitely stay tuned. You can always call into the show tonight at 760-888-5749. Once again, 760-888-5749. Hook up with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll be on Twitter all night at TW Powerhouse. And as always, visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I'm going to bring in my co-host for the evening. We've been discussing a lot about TNA, WWE. We've been having a lot of debates, but it's always fun. It's always heated. It's always a great time to debate wrestling. You know, I never take it personally. I love it. But he's TNA diehard fan of the show, and let's bring him out right now. Here's Toast. Going on,
Toph? Oh, I'm doing good. I got a new cable provider today, and it has a bunch of new stations in it, and I was just checking out all the stations. It's crazy. It's got like 600 channels in it and stuff, but there's even one channel that is dedicated to showing like a bunch of indie wrestling and stuff, so that's kind of cool. I want the Ring of Honor's on here.
Well, that is cool. You know,
yeah, Ring of Honor's.
I kind of wish that the cable company would let us design our own cable package, like get to pick our own channels. Because who needs 650 channels? Nobody needs that.
Yeah, and it's like the movies, too. Like some of the channels just show the same stuff. Like one channel is HBO 1, and which is the main one, and then the other one is HBO 2, which just shows what HBO 1 showed like 3 hours later, you know? So
Right. Yeah, dude. It's just unnecessary, man. I get ripped off every single month. Whenever I open up that cable bill, I say, what in the hell am I looking at? They just got you. South Park actually did a funny episode a few months ago about that. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about your boys at TNA. Apparently the company might be getting sold. Have you heard anything new about that?
Yeah, I heard Dave Meltzer talking about it, but I don't trust him anymore. He's very unreliable.
Yeah, and Dixie Carter had some kind of a little tweet that she did a little bit ago. We all know about her tweets, how what she does on there. She always spills the beans on everything. And she tweeted some old lines about how gossip is the opiate for depression or something along those lines, which is obviously an inside type of jab at these reports that are coming out. We really don't know what's going on with it. Are they looking to sell the company? You know, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if they were, but I'm sure they won't sell it for like what WCW got sold for, you know, which was like pennies to Vince McMahon. I'm sure they'll sell it for something good when it does happen.
Meltzer is he's someone I have like a, well, I was going to say a love-hate relationship, but it's not even that. I respect him as a journalist. I'm a communication major, and I could be a journalist myself one day. So I respect him on that end. But there's a lot of things he does I disagree with. I know a lot of fans love to, you know, they like to do the little star ratings for the matches, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star. I don't believe in that. Because really, at the end of the day, when you watch a wrestling match, you either liked it or you didn't like it. There is no like, it was okay. Yeah, you thought it was decent, or you didn't like it at all. I don't like how he started the stars thing. That just really makes people overanalyze the product. And what I don't like about him is, you know, because his name has gotten so big in the wrestling world, you know, people will send him emails and they'll ask him questions. And what I don't like about him is he'll say he doesn't know because he really doesn't know. Or for instance, like just for an example. Say at Survivor Series, he claims that Big Show will fight Randy Orton for WWE title, right? If it happens, then he'll be like, "Well, I told you so." But if he doesn't have, if it doesn't happen, then he'll go back and say, "Oh, well, they must have changed their plans." You know what I mean? Like it's like a lot of dirt sheets are like that. It's like you say something's going to happen, but then when it doesn't happen, you just say, "Oh, but he changed their plans," and like no one puts him at fault when it's like, "Well, I want to say it's not your fault, but you went out of your way to post on all these different sites and say, this is the deal, this is what's going to happen." Like, you mislead people, you know, and if he just did it like one or two times, I wouldn't be that upset, but he's done this like consistently, like for the past 5 years. So when I heard about the TNA being sold thing and Dave Meltzer reported it, it was just a huge red flag from the beginning. I'm going to wait until, you know, there's a statement of some kind, like on, you know, the Impact Wrestling website or Twitter or some acknowledgement on commentary. You know, until I hear it from, like, the source, I'm not believing anything on Dirt Sheets anymore. That's just me, though.
No, I don't blame you, man. It's like, and you talk about the Dirt Sheets and Dave Meltzer being the guy, but then all the other sites, there's hundreds of them out there, these news sites, and they just spread these rumors like wildfire. You know, once he reports it, it's on, and I'm not going to name drop these sites. We all know what they are. But they all just come up with the same exact news. And I debate with people over copy and paste because that's what I think it is. You're taking what Dave Meltzer reports, you're literally copying it, you're pasting it onto your own site, and then maybe you're putting a spin on it, maybe you're kind of analyzing it. I think the best way to do it is if you're going to report the news, you have to analyze it. So being the journalist or the columnist or whatever you are that is taking this news story and pasting it onto your website, your wrestling news website, which gets all your stuff from Meltzer and Alvarez and those guys, your job, in my mind, is to have an opinion on it, not just report it and not do anything. And that leads me to tell you guys that I might be doing that on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I might be adding a bit of that in. It's not going to be as much news as some of these other websites have, but I'm going to hit on some big topics soon. I'm going to get a nice little crew together who are also going to post on it, but everybody is going to have an opinion on these topics. We will let you know if we personally think it's bullshit or it's not, because a lot of these stories that come out, they just raise a red flag. Like, I'm going to give you an example real quick, Toph, and I know John's on the line. I'm going to bring him in a second. But just a few weeks ago, they report, Ryback is scheduled to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania if, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't agree or if The Rock's not going to be on it or whatever the scenario was. But they were talking about Ryback versus The Undertaker. not even 2 weeks later, the big report is, oh, Ryback's got heat. Ryback's got heat backstage. Ryback's going to not have a push anymore. He's not going to win, yada, yada, yada. Give me a break. I mean, you're flip-flopping on something like this. You can literally report that anybody has heat backstage. You could say Dolph Ziggler has heat until you're red in the face. You could say Damian Sandow has heat because he tried to cash in Money in the Bank and lost. You can say all this stuff. But until it is confirmed, all it is speculation. And that's what these headlines do. It's speculation. You can't tell me it's not. I was reading, and don't get me wrong, I like the WrestlingRumors.net website. Those guys are nice guys. It's nothing personal. But I was on their show last week. They do a little talk show. It's pretty cool. It's a debate discussion show. I was on it last week, had a good time with it. So I've been looking at their website. And literally, I look at their little news board, and every single headline just about has the word May in it. Like, oh, John Cena may win World Heavyweight Championship, or John Cena may turn heel and feud with Daniel Bryan with the Bella Twins on each side. Or there's another ridiculous one. Like, Hulk Hogan may sign with WWE. Yeah, no shit, he may. Like, what are you reporting? You're speculating that's all you're doing. You know what I mean? To me, that's just complete nonsense.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't want to get too off topic, but earlier today I was listening to I've gotten into the habit of listening to the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast show in the morning right before I go to work. And I listened to the episode where Steve was interviewing Jerry Lawler. And at the very beginning of the interview, Jerry was talking about how, like, right around the time when Stone Cold came in, like, you know, in 96, that was when the dirt sheets were really starting. Well, the Internet hadn't gotten big yet, but that was when the Internet was starting to kind of become a nuisance because I forgot, like, something happened at I think it was the In Your House Beware of Dog show, The Storm or something like that. Remember that one?
Yeah, it was the one where Austin Vega. Yeah.
There was a storm, and they had to, like, do a reshoot or something. Well, anyway, because of that, like, the actual results had leaked, and so the buy rates for that particular In Your House were not good because the results of that show had leaked online because even though the show got canceled because of the bad storm, there were fans in attendance. You know, they saw what happened. They went on some website. They typed it, and then that somehow ended up on a dirt sheet. And then, you know, Jerry Lawler mentioned in the interview that there was a point when Vince found out about this, and he was, according to what Jerry Lawler said, Vince was furious. And he basically, like, questioned every single writer, who wasn't that many at the time, because back then it was, like, JR, Jim Cornette, or the staff was very small back then. But essentially what Jerry was saying was Vince questioned everybody. He wanted to know who was leaking stuff, and, you know, and no one knew who it was, but Jerry was like, but clearly somebody had to have leaked it because the information was accurate. And so as 96 went on and with WCW and NWO and yada, 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 because if you remember, Raw was doing like every other week back then. So, you know, the results were leaking and fans were reading that online, which is one of the reasons why so many fans watched Nitro instead of Raw, which further enraged Vince. And according to what Jerry said, Vince got so angry that, like, he told everybody in the locker room, like, if I catch you reading dirt sheets, you're going to get fired on the spot, which I found hilarious because it's like, well, first of all, how do you catch them? You could just lie about it. I mean, it just seems, I mean, it's not like today. Like, now you can just get a cell phone and you can just read a dirt sheet nowadays, but it just seems hilarious. I mean, yeah, this dirt sheet stuff has been going on for a long time. You know, it's like the chicken and the egg. Like, we don't know which one came first, but we know it's there. And unfortunately, you know, it's here to stay, so.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere, man. There's a big market for it. A lot of the fans love to read it. And if you love to read the dirt sheets, that's fine. And you love to read the news that is spun off the dirt sheets, that is perfectly okay. I have no problem with it. I read it too. It's just that you got to understand what you're reading and not take everything like it's truth or fact. Because when they are wrong, they will not admit that they're wrong. I'm going to bring in, I believe John's on the line too. John, what's going on, my brother? Hey, John, you there? No, John. Okay, so John's not on. But it's okay. John will be calling in later, I'm sure, and so will Will Vafitas. But we'll continue on with the show, Toph. We're going to kick it into gear a little bit, and we're not going to do a full match-by-match analysis. Let's talk a little bit about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Of course, we had the two big Hell in a Cell matches, CM Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman. First ever handicap two-on-one Hell in a Cell match. There was a handicap Hell in a Cell match before, and it was DX, Triple H and Shawn Michaels versus Big Show, Vince and Shane McMahon. And that took place at, I believe, New Year's Resolution 2006, I want to say. And, yeah,
yeah, good memory.
First,
that was about right.
Yeah, exactly. That was the first handicap Hell in a Cell. But this was the first two-on-one handicap Hell in a Cell, and I thought it was funny how Paul Heyman kind of came and just hung out on top of the cell the whole night through that whole match. And Ryback and CM Punk did okay inside the cell. Wasn't anything great, but it was pretty good. It was better than I thought it would be. But I thought it was great when CM Punk finally got his hands on Heyman up on top of the cell and laid him out to go to sleep. I was hoping that when the cell came down later for Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, that Heyman would still be knocked out on top of the cell. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But that would have been classic. What did you think of this match, Toph?
Yeah, I'm just happy it's over. It definitely seems like the feud is over. I can see why some fans are upset because it was advertised as Heyman and Ryback, you know, against Punk in the cage together, and that never really happened. Heyman never entered the cell at any point. So in a way, WWE misled the fans. But then there's the cool visual, you know, of Heyman coming out in the forklift, which, you know, as JBL said, was very reminiscent of, like, WrestleMania 3. And, you know, the visual of Heyman, like, you know, standing on top of the cage, that was cool. Ryback and Punk did the best they could. Their matches really aren't that good. Ryback needs to be protected. You know, thankfully they were able to finish the match, and it was okay. You know, I'm not going to complain too much. They did the best they could in that type of environment. And hopefully that's the end. I think that they really kind of pushed the needle here. I mean, Axel's injured, and no one wants to see Punk Ryback anymore. And Punk has he's beaten up Heyman, so Heyman has gotten his payback. So I don't see a reason for this to continue. And, you know, last night him and Bryan were attacked by the Wyatt family. So hopefully Punk can move on and, you know, do something else now.
Yeah, it looks like something different's going on with CM Punk. That's always good to start a new program, a new feud. But I don't think we've heard the last from Paul Heyman. I think he'll be back. He'll be back with a vengeance. But I was kind of thrown off. I took a little break from the internet for, like, the most of yesterday. I wasn't really online at all Monday. And Sunday night I really was not either. So I heard about this Curtis Axel injury. And I know I knew he wasn't going to wrestle on the pre-show. But, Toph, can you explain to me? Because I didn't look. What exactly is wrong with him? Because I saw him last night on the stage at Raw, and he was wearing the belt and his gear. What's the problem with him?
It's being explained as a freak accident. Apparently he blew both of his hips out, something like that, an attack match or something. They say it's being described as a freak accident. Say it's a very serious injury because it involves a lot of leg rehabilitation. So he could make an appearance, but he can't physically do work. Like, I remember when Christian had suffered the concussion against his match with Orton earlier in the fall. I remember, like, right that week right before, like, you know, remember when they were, like, in Canada and they did a thing with Edge and Triple H? I remember the week before that, Christian was on the stage with the other superstars, but he wasn't physically involved. So I'm assuming he can't take any physical bumps or something. I have to read it again, but I remember it says something about it leaked at the very last minute. That's what's so strange about it. When the report leaked, it was about 1 hour before showtime, like right before the pre-show started. And so a lot of people thought it was like, oh, okay, it's just she's trying to get views. But then, like, when the pre-show started, Axel was nowhere to be seen, and then Big E was cutting a promo of Dean Ambrose for some reason. So you're like, what the hell is going on? So, yeah, he suffered some type of freak accident injury involving his hips or kneecaps. And, yeah, they'll probably strip him of the belt and have a tournament or something, which they were supposed to do earlier this year anyway, if you remember, and then they just decided not to. So we'll have to see. I hope he gets better, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I was just surprised. Like, if he's going to be out on the stage, don't be dressed in your gear. You know what I'm saying? If you have a double hip injury or whatever the hell they're talking about. But, yeah, that sucks. I hope he gets well soon. He got into a little beef with Conan on Twitter, which is kind of funny, because Conan, he's got his own little radio show he does. It's the Major League Wrestling Podcast. I'll give it a plug, because I've always been a fan of K-Dog. And he was saying that Curtis Axel's boring and, you know, can't hold a candle to his father and stuff like that. And Curtis Axel actually responded. Now, to me, that you got to be the bigger man. I mean, Curtis Axel, he's a current WWE superstar. Conan hasn't been on TV in a really long time, you know what I mean? I don't even know if he wrestles anymore. I think he's pretty hurt or something. He had some kind of major injury after he left TNA. So he was going back and forth with Conan, like, all night. It was just weird to me that he would even respond to something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Curtis Axel might be on the shelf for a little while. Maybe there's going to be a tournament. Maybe there won't be. We'll sit for the Hell in a Cell matches, and we'll talk about Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton for the vacant WWE Championship. Shawn Michaels, of course, was the special guest referee. This pretty much went down the way a lot of people expected it to go down. I was kind of hoping it went a completely opposite direction. I kind of wanted Daniel Bryan to get his moment and finally win the WWE Championship, but I understand why Orton is going to have the strap. I get it. You kind of need a heel right now to solidify this authority storyline that they're going through, and it's going to go on probably until WrestleMania, maybe even longer than that. Who knows? But I don't see it ending really anytime soon. And if you're going to have a champion at WrestleMania 30, it's got to be a heel. You need to have a babyface go over the top and win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 30. Now, whether it's going to be Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, John Cena, that remains to be seen. Nobody can really tell you what that's going to be at this point. I don't care what Meltzer leaks out, because those rumors are going to start coming out really soon. We already got the rumor of Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. We will get those WWE Championship and WrestleMania matches rumors before you know it. They'll be hitting the airwaves real soon. So this leads me to think that maybe Daniel Bryan, you know, maybe he's going to get pulled out of the scenario for a little while, going a different route. Royal Rumble's around the corner, Elimination Chamber's after that, two chances for him to get another shot at the WWE Championship. There's no doubt in my mind, him being probably the most over babyface in the company, him and CM Punk probably being number one and two respectively. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that he still has his biggest win to come. I don't care if he's been screwed time in and time out. I don't care if they've had these false finishes and screw jobs and whatnot. It's all about getting the heels over. The heels need to be solidified as heels. And I get it. As much as I wanted to see my favorite wrestler have that great moment at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, he's going to have a bigger moment at WrestleMania. If you don't believe it, don't believe it. But it's true. If he gets put into a match like that at WrestleMania, you bet your ass he's going to win. So the match was pretty cool. I didn't mind it. I liked all the chairs in the ring, the superplex on the chairs. That was cool. Of course, they're always kind of limited with what they can do inside the Hell in a Cell from a violent standpoint, because, you know, no shots to the head, no bleeding, you got to be careful, can't choke anybody, yada, yada, yada. So unless you're Triple H and Undertaker at WrestleMania, I guess, you really can't be as physical as you want to be. But Orton and Bryan did a good job. You could tell they worked their ass off. It wasn't that over-the-top, memorable match that I was hoping it would be, but it was still pretty cool, especially with the moment at the end with Shawn Michaels and whatnot. I think that looked better to them probably before they actually went out there and did it, because Triple H kind of took that knee kind of weird. You know, when Daniel Bryan hits Orton with it, Orton's knocked out. Boom, out cold. Triple H kind of did like a little spin, kind of like fell down. I understand why Shawn Michaels kicked Daniel Bryan, but, you know, believe it or not, if you want to build a heel, this is how you do it. He can't beat Daniel Bryan clean, and Randy Orton has yet to beat him clean one-on-one. So, yeah, that's my thought. I think Daniel Bryan will come full circle eventually and bring that championship back. Toph, let me get your thoughts, brother. What do you think?
Pretty much what I felt when when the heel turn happened at SummerSlam. You know, my original feeling at that moment was that they were going to go for the long haul, and eventually Bryan will basically, you know, pull the Benoit or Mysterio story where he'll just, you know, win the Rumble from number one or something. And, you know, he'll get his title shot that way. But at the time, you know, WWE, they really, they don't really do long-term angles like that. Not in a really long time. They tend to lose their patience, you know, unless it's a big draw like Rock Cena. But for the most part, they tend to just kind of hotshot things. And so when they kept trading the titles or kept doing the screwy finishes with Bryan and Orton in consecutive pay-per-views, I wasn't really sure. But after seeing the Hell in a Cell finish, it definitely seems to be that my original thought was probably what they're going to do. They're probably going to go for the long haul of, you know, Bryan playing the underdog, overcoming the odds, you know, the Mick Foley story or whatever you want to call it, with him ultimately winning the Rumble or some match that leads to him becoming WWE champion. Unfortunately, I can't see Bryan versus Orton at WrestleMania at all. I think that the fans have these screwy finishes have really killed the interest, really. It's interesting because Orton had a series of matches with Christian in 2011, and even though Orton won, like, each match was consistently better. It was each match got better and better, whereas with Brian and Orton, each match had screwy finish after another, which kind of killed any interest that fans are seeing. So I can't see Brian versus Orton as the Mania main event. I just can't see that. So, you know, the thing about CM Punk is, CM Punk, I've read interviews from him, and he plans on retiring early. I'm not sure what year he said he was going to retire in, but it's not too far. I think he said, like, 2015 or 2016, one of those years. But I know Punk has said many times that he plans on retiring early. He said he doesn't want to be one of those guys that's in the ring, you know, that's, like, past 40, and he's still there. And, you know, CM Punk, his worst enemy is himself. You know, anyone that's seen a DVD can tell you that. You know, CM Punk, as great as he is, he has a very old-school mentality of thinking, and I respect that. And, you know, in CM Punk's world, you know, you're the best in the world truly when you're main eventing for the title at WrestleMania. So, you know, even though CM Punk has fought in The Undertaker at WrestleMania and has done all these other things, he still hasn't main evented. You know, as you saw in his DVD, when Miz main evented and he didn't, that was his breaking point. Not that I blame him. So, you know, at the same time, like, as much as Brian deserves the main event, you know, I think that CM Punk is not going to pass this opportunity either. And when you have Brian and Punk as, you know, the top two faces, you know, it's becoming clear. I feel like we're back in the early 90s. I feel like we're going to get a Hogan Warrior moment at some point, you know. And I feel like some type of babyface feud between Punk and Brian is inevitable. Unless they try to have Punk feud with Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, we've seen that already, but they have good matches. And not only that, it would make the world title decent and give SmackDown some, you know, credibility. So, but overall, though, I mean, I definitely agree with you that a heel should be champion. You know, it solidifies the authority and Triple H and all that good stuff. And you know, we'll definitely have to see. But I'm almost positive that I feel like Sheamus, one guy we're forgetting about is Sheamus. I feel like Sheamus, when he returns, I feel like he's going to be a heel. He's going to play a big part in whatever Daniel Bryan's going to do. I could definitely see Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus again. I know it's as hilarious as that sounds, but I can see them happening again. So that's what I feel. I think Sheamus is a big piece of the puzzle. He cut his beard or his goatee, whatever it is, and I could easily see him being like, you know, like say Orton loses the title, right? I could definitely see Sheamus being like the next face, you know, because Triple H likes him anyway. So what do you think about that?
Won't surprise me at all. I think Sheamus definitely is a guy. When he comes back at the Royal Rumble, I think he'll play a key part in this storyline. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick. We got a couple people on hold. Thanks for holding. If you want to talk about something, please call in 760-888-5749. We're going to go to the 860 area code. 860, you're on the air with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's your name and where you're from?
Nate from Connecticut.
Nate, what's going on, bro? How's it going?
Yeah, good. You guys got any clue when the Christmas movie's coming out, the Shovel Masters with John Cena and Triple H? Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think last night with John Cena, it was just sickening seeing him win. I thought they're gonna do some kind of like Bob Backlund Arnold Skull and throw the towel in the ring, and that's how Cena loses the title. I mean, I think that would have been okay because it wasn't gonna be clean if he lost it, but. I mean, and also with Daniel Bryan, where's the logic with WWE? It's okay for taking a title away for a fast-counting referee, but a referee that super kicks a guy and costs him the match, they don't take the title away. So I don't know where WWE's logic is on that, but I don't want to see Daniel Bryan versus Triple H because I don't want to see Bryan get buried. But like you guys were saying before, I hope he does get his moment at WrestleMania. And if it's against, like, CM Punk or something, I mean, what, you know, more to it, but... Yeah, that's about it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Triple H burying thing because I don't see Triple H burying anybody at all anymore. He may have done that shit like 10 years ago. WrestleMania 19 is a moment where he buried somebody.
He castrated CM Punk in their match. I mean, CM Punk was going to be the hottest thing, and he just castrated him, beat him in the ring at Night of Champions a couple years ago. So.
Yeah, but even that, you're talking about CM Punk, and that even furthered the storyline. That furthered the whole CM Punk conspiracy against him storyline. And right now, Triple H, what he's doing is setting the tone for the future, man. That's really his goal. And if Daniel Bryan doesn't get the WWE Championship match at WrestleMania, there's no doubt in my mind he'll have a one-on-one match with Triple H. And when that happens, we'll see Daniel Bryan get the biggest win on the biggest possible stage because there's no way that a heel Triple H will beat a babyface Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. We've seen Triple H put over WrestleMania after WrestleMania. He put over Chris Benoit, Batista, John Cena 3 years in a row. And you bet your ass if they had another match at WrestleMania 23, if it was Cena versus Triple H again, Cena's beating him again.
Who did Triple H fight this WrestleMania? Brock Lesnar? And who won that match? Okay.
But Brock Lesnar won the feud. Brock Lesnar beat him at SummerSlam and beat him the next month at, not Backlash, Extreme Rules. And so Brock Lesnar ends up winning the feud. They had a three-match series. Brock wins. Triple H won at WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, that's the moment where the babyface should go over from all intents and purposes. But, I get your point. A lot of people have this hatred against Triple H that really stems from 10, 15 years ago. It's not coming from today, because if you look at it with a subjective mind and a subjective point of view, he's really not bearing anybody. He's a heel, and he's acting like a douchebag, and he's acting the exact way that we see him, and he's not really like that. So that's the best part about it, is he's playing into this this notion that he's this, you know, evil, burying the underdog, the B-plus player type of guy. He's really not like that. That's not real. That's a character. That's what he's doing on TV, and it's obviously working. But I do like that he got to you, Nate. I do like that that he's fooled you 100%, man.
I mean, I don't know. He tried to be like the evil Mr. McMahon, and he just fails at it. I mean, Stephanie's tits, she looked good last night. I mean, I got to give her that. But Stephanie's annoying too, but... Yeah, I just have to wait and see what they do with the Big Show. I mean, I wonder if McMahon's behind the Big Show coming back. I mean, I think, because I'm waiting for them to come back, Vince McMahon and Triple H to feud again, because I think that's going to happen in the future. So, but I mean,
yeah, with the 30th,
overall, I mean, the product,
the 30th...
there's only a few things I like about the product. I mean, the Shield and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. I mean, I like Antonio Cesaro. Hopefully he gets a babyface turn in the future, because he looks good. I like that giant swing. I just laugh every time he does it, but... I mean, this guy's a beast in the ring, and hopefully the product gets better. But with the shovel master John Cena back, oh man, I'm just sick of seeing that guy's face on TV.
Well,
but,
hey, thanks for calling, Nate. You got to remember something, that nowadays in wrestling, in WWE especially, it's not a sprint; it's a marathon. So you're not going to get this stuff happening overnight anymore. It's just not going to happen. Like, Cesaro is a guy who is over, that Cesaro swing is over like Grover, man. People love that thing. And he's a guy who's got a lot of charisma that's untapped, that people don't really see on a week-to-week basis because he can't channel it. But you got to remember it's a marathon.
I mean,
he's still young.
I mean, I just miss the Attitude Era days, 96 to 99, because every week, Nitro and Raw, it was great. And it's hard to get a good cookie every week on Raw. I mean, there's only a few things that I like. So,
well,
you guys take care of...
You too, man. But I suggest you order WWE 24/7 and watch the history of Monday Night Raw, because you get all that good Attitude Era stuff. Like, I watched the Raw just the other day after it was after Backlash 1999, and it had this awesome angle with Val Venus and Nicole Bass. Everybody remembers Nicole Bass. You remember her, right, Toph? Nicole Bass?
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, man. Val Venus and Nicole Bass, love storyline. That's Attitude Era in a nutshell right there. So if you want that back, you know, good for you, but I'll tell you what, I can go the next 10 years of my life without seeing freaking Nicole Bass. So let's go back to the phone line, since we're getting some calls tonight. Let's take a call here from 856 area code, 856, you're on the air. What's going on?
What's going on? It's Tyrone from Jersey. What's going on?
What's going on, Tyrone, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Hey, you know what's funny about listening to the previous caller and watch, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that, while wrestling fans have gotten a lot smarter over the years, I feel like in some ways they've actually gotten dumber too. Like, we have to also pay attention. Like, we want to make these guys like Cesaro champion and give them this big push. But isn't it clear by now, if you're a quote-unquote smart fan, that like selling T-shirts and merchandise and all that kind of stuff matters these days? Aren't we supposed to be sophisticated enough to know that matters? And then when you look at the crowd, I don't see anybody wearing any Cesaro wear. They're not going to put a gold on a guy if he can sell zero T-shirts. Just ask Dolph Ziggler. He sells no T-shirts. That's why they took the belt from him. And isn't it kind of simple in that way at this point?
Oh, yeah. It's really simple, man, from a marketing perspective. That's why WWE has been so dominant over TNA or whatever. That's TNA's main problem is a marketing thing. They can't market their superstars. They have Jeff Hardy, who was probably the number one merchandise guy in WWE for a while. If not number one, then number two. And they can't merchandise him for the life of them. So, yeah, merchandising, that's got everything to do with it. And believe it or not, Tyrone, we don't see everything. We don't know anything. We don't see any spreadsheets. We don't see any analytics. We don't see the kind of numbers WWE does. We don't get the WWE.com stats for their websites to see what fans, what superstars the fans are looking at. We don't know, like, who drives most traffic and stuff like that. And that all goes into account who's at the top of the card.
Right. And the other thing is, while CM Punk, you got to talk about CM Punk, and he's a face, but he's a face in the Stone Cold tradition where he's really a heel, but he just happens to be a face because people root for him. And Daniel Bryan's been heel and face. So while we want to get to Cena's the only face left. Everybody else is kind of a pseudo face at this point. Therefore, when people say they want to get rid of Cena, well, who's your face then? Because at any given day, somebody's picking out a kendo stick and beating somebody. That's heel stuff. That's heel heat that people are just happening to root for. So to me, I think Cena has to, at least until they find another face, doesn't Cena kind of have to be at least near the top? Because who else will your heel go against? He's still top face. He just is.
No, I agree with you.
I see where you're coming from, Tyrone, but for me, it's the other way around. Because Cena is the top face, I think that's one of the main problems with the heels. Because for so many years, when Cena goes up against guys like Del Rio, guys like Wade Barrett, guys like Miz, when he goes up against heels, Cena's character is so stagnant, it's so boring, that fans are cheering anybody but Cena. And so the heel heat that these heels should be getting, they get cheered instead. Like the best example was during 2010, I mean, Wade Barrett, his character, like, you know, ignoring who we personally like, Wade Barrett's character was a douchebag. I mean, remember when John Cena lost and he was part of the Nexus and he was like their slave and he just told Cena, hey, give me a cup of coffee. Pick this up. Like, you know, he was doing just, you know, douchebag, cowardly stuff and the fans are cheering anyway. Cena's character has gotten so stale that as long as Cena is on the roster, you can't really have a true heel because when they go to the big cities, when they go to the smart towns, Cena is going to get the heat that the heel should get. You know, it's been so many years since we've had, like, a true top heel. Like, who was the last top heel that fans just hated? Like, excluding Triple H. You can't really think of one. Like, who? JBL? Who? Wait, Muhammad Hassan?
Yeah.
There really is not that many. Yeah, there's really not that many. You have to go as far back as, like, 2004 or 5 because Cena, he gets the heat that the heel should get. So I understand what you're saying, but I feel like as long as Cena's face, he's really hurting the heels. He's not doing the heels any favors because these heels, they get cheered and they get turned face. That's what happened to Punk. That's what happened to Bryan. That's what happened to Ziggler. That's what's going to happen to anyone that fights Cena. And I guarantee you Sandow is going to be the next one. They're going to turn him face too because fans are so tired of Cena, they're going to start cheering Sandow.
I hear that, but at the same time, I look at it like this. Like, the day after WrestleMania, when Cena wins the title, he goes to Kelly and Michael. What other person on the roster would you trust to go on a show like that to be that quote-unquote face that's been so popular? I don't know if I would trust any of those other guys. So while I agree with your point, when I look at this PG era, though, I don't know if there's another guy who's face enough to go on those Fox and Friends-type shows and speak for the company. So unless you want a non-wrestler doing it, I don't know who else the other option is because I don't see if any of those other guys are really ready to do it.
So far from what I've seen, I think Daniel Bryan is really popular with the kids. They really like the beard thing, you know, the whole troll thing, you know. I think kids
would
like that.
Would it work on Fox and Friends? Would it work with Middle America? Kids like them, but would a middle-aged mom like them?
What do you think, Jay?
I love the kids like them. That's my only question. And that's why I'm one of the few people who actually, I'm not tired of seeing. I root for Cena. I went to a bar to watch last year's Royal Rumble. When he won, I was the only one screaming and yelling, and everyone was booing me. I still actually like it. And maybe I like it because everyone else hates it, but I still think there's mileage there. And I think that if they get creative and a heel really steps up, I think it could still work. But the guy's got to just, you know, I don't know if they got a right for it if a guy has to just step up and do it. And also, my last thing, WrestleMania, I still want to see Punk Cena in the main event, and I want to see Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. I'm just not in a big hurry necessarily to put the gold on Bryan. I don't care if he doesn't get it for quite a while. I'd rather him go against Triple H. I think CM Punk, Cena, the two biggest guys, should be this year's main event. That's what I would want to see in the co-main. I would want Triple H, Bryan, and then obviously Undertaker versus Lesnar would be awesome. And to me, those would be the last three matches if I was in charge.
What would you do with Orton then?
What was that?
What would you do with Orton then?
What I would do with Orton, he'd have to go down the card, or I'd find something. Or I put him in a tag team somehow and go against the new high tag team with the Rhodes brothers or something like that. Do something like that. He can easily get heat with going back to Legacy or something like that. I would do something like that and put him down the card. So I would try doing that transition during the. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and one surprise I think elevated Cody Rhodes at this point, too. Cody Rhodes is a guy that I think he's now a tag team champion. And it won't surprise me, unless they go with the rumored Goldust versus Cody Rhodes match at WrestleMania, it wouldn't shock me to see him get a big, high-profile match at next year's WrestleMania 30 card. You know, Cody Rhodes is ready. He's a guy that's over as hell right now, and he's got a good look, and he's tearing it up on the scene.
This is kind of funny because, This is really funny because I hate Orton, and Jay knows this, but even though I hate him, like, the whole point of this heel turn was to be the face of WWE. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but, like, Orton has kind of gotten, like, the filler spot at Mania these past few years now. I feel like, and again, like, I don't like him either. I'm not disagreeing with the matches you just said, but I feel like with this new heel turn and this new character, I feel like that pushing him down the card would be kind of a contradiction, if I'm making sense. I feel like that he has to be in one of the main events next year. Not the main event, but I feel like he would have to be on one of them. But we'll have to see. I don't know.
All right, well, I love the show, guys, and thanks a lot.
Hey, Tyrone, thank you for calling in, man. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. Tyrone brought up some good points about John Cena and the marketability of his character. He's a guy that's going to continue to sell merchandise. And you got to remember something, too, Toph. You made some great points about, you know, the heel reaction to Cena, and you can't really get a top heel over against him. But this is an era in wrestling right now where we've got John Cena, and we're not going to have him for another 10 years. I doubt it. I doubt he'll be around for another 10 years. We'll probably get him for another 5, 6, maybe 7, 8. But we've never really seen this before. We've never had a guy that could elicit this type of reaction from the crowd. You know, at Hell in a Cell, they pop for him like crazy, but there were those boos. Last night, hop and boos, same type of deal. And it's been that way for the better part of a decade, just about. And this is something that never happened with Hogan in WWF, never happened with Austin, kind of started happening with Bret Hart, but that was different because they turned him full-blown heel. But
it did happen with Hogan, but they turned him before it got out of hand.
Yeah, Hogan was on his way out when it was happening, and it wasn't happening all over the country either like it is with Cena. It was happening with Hogan in certain scenarios in 1991 or whatever. And
it was happening in 95.
Well, WCW was happening, yeah. WCW is different. That's a different ballgame. WCW is completely different than what we're talking about here, though. But John Cena, well, I'm just saying, WWE it's a different ballgame. You know, WCW was mainly down south. They didn't come up here too much. I know I never saw a WCW show up here. So I've gone to the arena. I've seen Hogan. I've seen Austin. I've seen Cena. And there's nobody that elicits that kind of reaction like Cena does. And that, to me, is a good thing because it's completely original. It's something we've never seen, and we probably won't see again. And that's what I kind of like about it. And that's why I think they'll never turn him heel. They won't do it unless they have that guy to move into his spot. And as much as we all like Daniel Bryan, if they're going to do that, right now is not the time. You have to wait. I mean, Daniel Bryan, he's great. Best wrestler in the world, in my opinion. But I think that as much as I wanted him to win the strap and get a run with it, I understand what Tyrone was saying. You still got time. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. But I was just about to click in TLD. He's been on hold. He's been waiting. Just about to click him in, and he hangs up. But that's okay. That's okay, Toph. We are here. We've got the greatest promo ever coming up later tonight's debut of the greatest promo ever. But let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw last night, Toph. And, I mean, Hell in a Cell was a good card. We had some excitement, had a lot of matches we didn't expect. I personally thought the best match, in my opinion, even though it ended in a countout, was Biggie Langston and Dean Ambrose, because those guys beat the living hell out of each other. I love that match. It was so hard-hitting and ridiculous. I think Biggie Langston is awesome. But we got a pretty decent Monday Night Raw last night. It was very unpredictable, a lot of stuff that we didn't see coming. So what were your overall thoughts on Monday Night Raw last night?
I don't remember it that well. It was probably an average Raw. Thought the Sandow-Cena match was good. And that's really all I remember. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. That's fine, man. I personally loved when Daniel Bryan put the Yes Lock on Shawn Michaels. I thought that was a great moment, really cool. Shawn Michaels was kind of playing that, hey, I'm the veteran, I'm the Hall of Famer, Mr. WrestleMania, shake my damn hand, because I demand you to, because it's a respect thing. And with Daniel Bryan locked in that submission, man, I popped, because I've always been a Shawn Michaels hater. I've never been a huge Shawn Michaels fan, not at all in my entire life. So when he locked it in, I was fucking pumped, man. I loved it.
What is it about HBK you don't like?
I started to dislike Shawn Michaels when I was like, I didn't really like him when he first started as the Heartbreak Kid, because he was a heel, and I just, when I was that age, I didn't like heels. And then when he turned babyface, I just kind of didn't get it, because he was this kind of like weird, like biker, weird, I just wasn't into him. I was a Bret Hart guy. I always loved Bret Hart. I always wanted to see Bret Hart. But then 1996, WrestleMania 12, I actually quit watching wrestling when I watched Bret Hart lose to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12. Because, one, I still wasn't savvy to the business. I was only 11 years old. I still didn't understand that it was a work at that time. Sorry, guys, if I just ruined it for you. If you're listening out there and you didn't know it was a work, it's a fucking work. I didn't get it at that time. I did not believe that Shawn Michaels beat Bret Hart. I wasn't a member of his little clique. I didn't really like him. Bret Hart left after that and wasn't to be seen for a little while longer. And I was pissed, and I remember watching it after that, and Shawn Michaels a champion, and I just didn't like it. So I literally stopped watching it. And I didn't turn on WCW again until my grandmother bought me WCW versus NWO World Tour. So I missed the reveal of the NWO. I missed all that shit. And when I got that video game, that's when I started watching wrestling again, and I started watching Nitro. But, of course, I've gone back and I've watched all of it. But, yeah, Shawn Michaels being the champion, I didn't turn on WWF again, Toph, and this is honest. I did not turn on WWF until I saw Mike Tyson on SportsCenter coming out and doing that thing with Stone Cold. That was and people talk about that as a moment for a lot of people who turned over to Raw and never went back. That was the moment I started watching WWF again, 1998. I'll never forget it. And I haven't gone back, so I haven't stopped watching since. So, yeah, so Shawn Michaels, fuck him. And I was lucky because right after that, at WrestleMania 14, Shawn Michaels dropped the title to Austin. I was an Austin 316 guy. I loved the dude. And I didn't get to see Shawn Michaels again for 4 years. And I'm always the guy, I've been asked this question a lot of times when I diss Shawn Michaels. I will always say that I loved his run from 2002 to 2010. Much better than his run from, whatever, 1991 until 1998, to be honest with you.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, you got it? Yeah, so it's, yeah, you know, I just wondering if you want to follow up on that. But, yeah, I love that moment. And, hey, Toph, this is pretty awesome. It looks like we've got another caller on the line, which is cool because we don't get a lot of callers usually on this show. So I'm going to bring in the 269 area code, 269. You're on the air with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's your name, where you're from, my man?
Hey, how's it going? This is Nick McGee from Pro Wrestling Smart Club. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Nick, what's going on, man? Yeah, I know you from Twitter and everything. You're a good dude. You're always interacting with me, and you could definitely, you know, I gave you a follow back and stuff, and you got your own radio show and stuff going on. So thanks for calling in, bro. What do you got to say tonight?
Man, what I got to say, dude, is like I told you on Twitter earlier, I did not, you know, I don't have a problem overall with Cena winning the match. I personally felt my first one was Sandow got buried, you know, because the guy had been on a huge losing streak, and he really needed this win. But at the same time, if he will won the world title, it will downgrade the championship. It will downgrade the prestige of the championship, because the championship, in some circles, Jay, you know this, some people treat the World Heavyweight Championship like it's the old-school IC championship.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and that's how it's been treated for a while. But when you think that – I don't think Sandow got buried. I see it completely different. I see that he said, you know, I'm not cashing in tonight, and then he attacks Cena, brutally beats the living bejesus out of him, and then he cashes in anyway. You know, regardless of win or loss, we saw more aggressiveness and determination out of Damian Sandow than we've ever seen.
And I totally agree with you on that. And I personally felt after seeing Sandow basically beat the holy you know what out of Cena, I personally felt that what Del Rio should have done last Sunday night. I mean, it just felt kind of flat. I'm like, man, that beatdown should have happened at Hell in a Cell last night with Del Rio. Because here was my booking for it. If I would have done the booking, I would have Cena came back at Hell in a Cell, face Alberto Del Rio. I would show Del Rio's true aggression, have him beat the holy crap out of Cena, maybe lose match by DQ, put Cena out of action for another 2 or 3 months, and have Cena come back and beat the holy hell out of Alberto Del Rio. That's what I would have done. That would have been my booking. It would make Cena stronger. It would make Del Rio even more of a heel.
Well, and it makes sense. And who's to say that they didn't come up with the scenario in a booking meeting? You know what I mean? We don't know what
that's
they
came
true. Up with
that's
and what
true.
They decided to go with. You know what I mean? There are so many different routes that you can go with these kind of things, and we could fantasy book this thing to death. We can just sit here all night long. We could have, Nick, we could have a 6-hour show and fantasy book WWE for the next 12 months. We could do that. But
that's true.
But the fact of the matter is, that's all it is. It's fantasy booking. And what we got, and the way I see it, is that we'll get Damian Sandow to be more over as a whether they decide to go babyface with him or not. I don't know if that's the plan. I don't want to know if that's the plan. Me either. I want to see where it heads. I want to see what they do with it. You know, but I think with that loss, even though he lost the briefcase, I still think it adds immediately to John Cena's run as World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, he overcame the odds 2 nights in a row, and now when he fights
Del
Rio again, the odds are going to be stacked, and it also adds to Damian Sandow. Because now he is a solidified contender now, just because he had that one shot.
True.
So that's where I see it. I'm looking at the positive, bright side of it. I don't think he got buried in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, after I thought about it for 24 hours, I came to that same conclusion, too. I don't think he got totally buried last night, and I agree with you. It's going to make him even to a stronger heel once he comes back. So I'm definitely looking forward to see what they do with him here on out. But the other tweet that I've seen you is, I just don't quite understand this incredible push the Big Show is getting. Do we really want to see another Big Show, Randy Orton type feud? I mean, do we really want to see that? To me, it's not going to move the buyout rates whatsoever for their pay-per-view.
Well, I think the end game is Big Show, Triple H. I don't think it's Big Show, Orton at all. They've been teasing Big Show, Triple H for some time now.
You really think so?
I mean, he knocked out Triple H. He's the first person to get the physical strike back on Big Show. Usually when there's a heel authority figure that's abusing his or her power, first person that lays him out is the one that's getting the push. And Big Show was the first person to physically attack Triple H. He knocked him out, and the crowd popped hard. See, here's the thing. Big Show is a very stagnant character. They've turned him face and heel several times, and I do think that his usefulness is limited. But the one thing I will give WWE, say what you want, but go back and look at these Raws and SmackDowns, and Big Show shows up, and when he knocks these folks out, when he knocks The Shield out, when he knocks Triple H out, when he knocks Orton out, these fans are popping. This is the hardest. These are like the best reactions Big Show's gotten in years. I think that fans are seriously invested in this Big Show angle, and I can't believe I'm saying this because really, for like the past decade, fans really don't care about Big Show. But it's for whatever reason, this angle's working. But I don't think it's going to be Big Show Orton. I think it's going to be Big Show Triple H. I think that's the end game. Not at WrestleMania, maybe at Survivor Series or some other show. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And like we said, we can sit here, we can fantasy book all day. And And yeah, I can see Big Show versus Triple H, but at the same time, where does that leave Orton with the WWE Championship? Because by the looks of it, Daniel Bryan is completely out of the picture.
Well, here's the thing. I think that a lot of fans are spoiled by how wrestling is today. We don't have to have a title shot every year. I remember in the original Survivor Series, champions would be in the elimination matches. You know, it doesn't have to be.
I remember
be
that, too. Right.
Yeah, I remember like in 03 when Triple H was in was in the Survivor Series, and it was dealing with his title because if his team won, then, like, you know, they would get to choose when they fought. There doesn't have to be a title match. They could easily put Orton in, like, a match with the Shield or the Wyatt family and have them fight, you know, four other baby faces. There doesn't have to be a title match, but, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I completely agree. To me, they should really go back to the old Survivor Series format, four-man, you know, eight-team elimination match if they want to make Survivor Series prevalent again. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, yeah, thanks for calling, Nick. And I think Big Show actually fights both Orton. I think that'll happen for the WWE Championship at one point. And I think he'll have a big match against Triple H as well at some point down the line. But you got to remember, we have to get to that point where he's back on the roster and he's back as a wrestler again. And we have to see how that happens. So, I understand you're kind of you're not really digging Big Show and you don't kind of get it. But it's that fan reaction that Toph mentioned. I mean, I haven't seen the fans go this nuts for Big Show, I don't think, ever in his entire career. He's actually a guy that was almost retired from the business, almost stepped down a few years ago, and now he's at the top. And this is just crazy. I didn't see it at all.
I have not seen Paul White get these type of reactions since, like, 97 and WCW. And to those of you that don't know why he was so over, during this time, Kevin Nash, when he was part of the NWO, they had a match. I think it was at Sold Out or something. And to make a long story short, Kevin Nash, to this day, is very unsure on what exactly happened. Some think that Nash sandbagged Paul White. Others think that no one really knows. What did happen is the powerbomb didn't go as planned. And he fell right on his neck. He almost legitimately broke his neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to this day, Nash and White do not talk at all. As a matter of fact, if you remember in the 2011 Rumble when Nash came back, when Nash was walking through the ring, Show had just been eliminated, and they just looked at each other. It was really – I don't know if you guys remember that. But, you know, because of that, Nash and the Giant were supposed to have a blow-off match at Starrcade, but Nash, like, he played politics, as they say, and he faked a knee injury, at least that's what the stories say. He didn't want to do business with White. And so throughout the build-up to Starrcade, when fans thought we were going to get the match, the Giant would just come out and, like, destroy the NWO, and the fans just ate it up because they wanted to see, like, Nash. They wanted to see the visual of, like, Nash getting chokeslammed by the Giant, but we never got that. So, but, yeah, what Jay said is true. I mean, these fans are responding to Big Show. So, you know, that's good, though. I mean, at least the fans finally respond to him. That's good.
Yeah, they're responding to him, and all we can say is that's best for business right now.
Yo, Nick, thanks so much for calling, man. I appreciate it. Call him anytime, bro.
All right, bro. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, brother. All right, we're going to go to another caller, and this guy is a guy that we're friends with. He's a former host of Oh, You Didn't Know Radio here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. That show is right now on hold. We have no host for it. John's been busy. He's got a baby. I understand that. But Seth Guttenplan, what's going on, Seth?
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
I can hear you 100% perfect. What's going on, man?
Awesome. You know, just listening into the show and thought I'd join the conversation. You guys were talking a bit about Big Show, and like Toph, I'm not really interested in him being involved, but I agree with what Toph said about the reaction. And I also wanted to add that if you compare how he looks right now to a few years ago, especially when he was ECW champion, he's actually in really good shape right now. He was really overweight at one point and really unhealthy, and I think that's part of the reason why he stepped away for a while. So I actually give Big Show a little bit of credit because he's actually in very good shape. for Big Show.
Yeah, man. I think there needs to be a reevaluation of what is considered to be in your prime, because these past 2 to 3 years, we're seeing, and not just in WWE, but like in TNA, Ring of Honor, and many other organizations, we're seeing like this small circle of guys that, based off their age, should be past their prime, but they're still delivering consistent matches and promos. You know, guys like Bully Ray, guys like Mark Henry, guys like Chris Daniels, guys like Chris Jericho, and of course guys like The Big Show. There seems to be, I don't know if it's DDP yoga or what, but I understand when fans say, oh, you're over 40, you know, you're past your prime, but there seems to be this rising number of wrestlers like that are over 40 or nearing 40, and it seems like they're in better shape than they were when they were younger. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Take a look at Goldust. I mean, he obviously admits to the drug and alcohol issues he had in the past, but he is really impressing everyone, and I don't know how old he is exactly, but he's got to be around 40, right?
Oh, yeah. I think Dustin is in his 40s, because when we bumped into him, Seth, at Pro Wrestling Syndicate a few months ago, yeah, Dustin's 44 years old. I commented. I was like, man, you look great. You look in great shape. What have you been doing? And he said he's been doing DDP yoga and hitting the gym every day too. So, yeah, DDP yoga helped real well for Dustin Rhodes, man. That guy looks great in the ring. As good as he's ever looked, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. He's doing some of his best in-ring work. So.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's 44.
It's great that he's got a job now, and for at least for the short term, you know, and he's able to get out there and build his name back up, because that's just going to help him again when he hits the independent circuit, you know, because I'm sure he's not going to be on the roster for that long, being 44 years old. He's just in here for this angle, and that's great. I'm sure he's loving it. But, yeah, he's a guy in great shape. Big Show, that's something you brought up, Seth. Big Show, that picture surfaced of him a few months ago before he returned, and he just looked jacked up, real big, real muscular, and it's literally as good as he's ever looked. And being his size, he can put on weight really fast, so he's got to be careful, because a guy that size can eat. And if he eats the way he can eat, it might be bad news, but that's got a lot to do with it. If he was still like a fat bastard like he was back when you were talking, like 2006, 2007, whatever it was, he would not have this opportunity right now. He wouldn't be able to do it. He couldn't pull it off, because the look has everything to do with it in professional wrestling. No matter who you ask, there's no question about it. That has everything to do with it. You have to have a look. You have to be unique. And the Big Show is just that. So, but what do you think, Seth? Is this a smart route to go with Big Show? Is it smart that WWE is actually listening to the fans, the reaction in the arena, and putting the Big Show in the spot to possibly get a shot at the WWE Championship?
Well, I'm not sure that this is leading to a WWE title match necessarily, like you guys were talking about before. It could just lead to a match with Triple H.
Toph, was he breaking up, or was that just me? Toph. Hey, Toph. All right. I think we're having some kind of technical difficulty right now on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Not sure what's going on, but we'll be right back. We're going to take a short little break, and we'll come right back here on PWP Radio. We will do the greatest promo ever on the flip side of this quick break. Thanks for listening tonight. Make sure you give me a follow at PW Powerhouse on Twitter, and head over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, where you can read all these great articles by me, by all these other great writers, fans of the business that we love. You can go there. You can read them. Please join us at the end of this commercial break, and we'll have the greatest promo ever. We'll break it down, and we'll move into the newest segment of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Sorry about that. Having some technical difficulties here tonight. Not really sure what the problem is, but we are back on the air live, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You can listen on iTunes or the Stitcher radio app. Every once in a while here doing this amateur radio deal on BlogTalkRadio.com where you're literally calling in through a phone line, and it's not like a professional podcast. I get that. There are technical difficulties, so if you're listening, I'm sorry about that. Every once in a while, it happens, but you can call the show if you've been cut off or whatever. Call the show at 760-888-5749. Please call in now, and we can talk about wrestling, you know, because that's what we do. Tonight, we still have the greatest promo ever. Greatest promo ever. Maybe, may not be, who knows, but we're going to talk about it. And we're going to play it for you in just a moment. But, yeah, we've had a great show so far tonight. Just to recap, we've talked about Hell in a Cell. We've had a lot of callers. Talked about Monday Night Raw a little bit. Talked a lot about Daniel Bryan, Big Show, Randy Orton being the WWE champion, John Cena returning. We're going to talk a little bit about TNA to cap this night off later on. But that's one thing that is true about the wrestling business right now is it has people talking. It's got the fans talking about what exactly is going on. And that's definitely a good thing. And, you know, there's something to say about getting a reaction out of the fan base, because this fan base is so passionate and at times so fickle that when we react, whether it's negative or positive, it's still great to have a reaction. And that's something that we need. You know, that's something that we need to survive in the pro wrestling business. Now I'm going to bring Toph back in. Hey, Toph, you with me?
Yeah, yeah, but I was having some technical. Yeah, I'm back now.
Okay, sorry, bro. Yeah, I don't know what happened. A little technical difficulties there. It happens from time to time here on Blog Talk Radio. But, hey, Toph, we're debuting a brand new segment tonight on the show, and it is called The Greatest Promo Ever. Are you ready to listen to one of the greatest promos ever?
Sure, let's hear it.
All right, here it is. The first edition of Greatest Promo Ever. We're going to do this every week, folks, so Greatest Promo Ever, here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Dusty Rhodes has been injured. Well, we want to welcome back tonight Dusty Rhodes for his first interview since his injury. Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was, Starrcade 85, it is to the wrestling fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that wait, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times. That's hard times. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard times. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hind is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now.
I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out, because the love that was given me in this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this Hard Time Blues Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real world champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes fans.
All right, there it is. Greatest promo ever, number one, here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I don't know about you, Toph, but listening to that gives me chills every single time. I don't have to see Dusty Rhodes talking and giving that promo. I just have to hear it. And hearing it, it was just amazing. I mean, that could very well be one of the greatest promos of all time. And let's hear your thoughts on the greatest promo ever by Dusty Rhodes.
You mean my opinion on that precise promo that he cut?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do this every week. We're going to take one promo and we're going to break it down and give our opinions on that promo and what it meant in wrestling and why it's one of the greatest promos ever.
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't really know much about Dusty, but I've never seen any bad work from him. You know, he was very passionate in the promo. He was very angry. He had a lot of control in the promo. I like the intensity he had in the middle portion of it, and then he kind of calmed back down towards the end. Really got over Flair as a top heel at the time. And really not much to say about Dusty. I mean, all his work was good, so, you know. I mean, didn't Bully Ray cut a similar promo? Was the promo that Bully Ray cut based off that one?
I'm not thinking about what promo that was. Why did he cut a promo like that?
He cut a promo like a week before Bound for Glory. It sounds exactly like that. When he was talking
okay.
to AJ Styles, and he was talking about how he put people on hard times.
Yeah, you know what? He very well might have been influenced by that promo, because the significance of that promo, now you said you don't know a lot about Dusty Rhodes, but I suggest you go back and watch that feud, because if there was one feud that was just your classic professional wrestling feud where you knew the heat was just building, and it was some of the best work you're ever going to see, it was the Dusty Rhodes feud with the Four Horsemen. Because what he was talking about, when he got injured, he got put in hard times. They used to torture Dusty. I mean, they jumped him in a parking lot one time. They locked him inside a steel cage and broke his ankle. And it was crazy, because I don't know if you've ever seen the footage, and I know a lot of wrestling fans have. The fans at the building were trying to get into the steel cage. They had knocked over the guardrail and were trying to get to Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and I believe it was Ole Anderson at the time. And they were trying to freaking start a riot because they loved Dusty Rhodes so much. And the Four Horsemen, I think it was Flair or Arn, or I can't remember if it was Flair or Arn, they jump off the top rope and hit like a knee drop on Dusty's ankle. And, oh, man, the pain on Dusty Rhodes' face, like you knew his ankle wasn't really broken. Watching it back now anyway, those fans didn't know that in 1987 or 1986, whatever it was. Those fans didn't know, but watching it back now, you know his ankle's not broken, but the look of pain on his face just told the entire story. And when he cut that promo right before Starrcade, that told the rest of the story. It told you what Dusty Rhodes was going through when they broke his ankle. It told the story of what Americans are going through, not just back then in the mid-80s, but what we're going through now. People having a hard time getting a job. Fuck, I'm having a hard time getting a full-time job. It's hard out there. It's tough. You know, people are in hard times. It's just the way it is. That promo transcends a lot of the professional wrestling business. And like you said, he changed levels and was able to hit the fans at a peak, bring it back down, get them to really pay attention. He said, reach out and grab and touch Dusty Rhodes, you know. He just, it was just a classic, classic promo, one of the greatest ever. Next week, we're going to have another one. We're going to break down another promo right here on the show in hour number two. Also next week, we will have part two of our interview with Bruce Hart. They are starting Hart Brothers University, HBO. It's HBO. What the fuck, man? I'm making a lot of mistakes tonight. HBU out in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I'm still accepting applications if you want to be the one to win that scholarship. You can email webmaster at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com if you want to put your name in the hat. Please include, you know, where you're from, include why we should choose you to win the scholarship to Hart Brothers University, pictures of yourself. You know, if you're, if you want to be a wrestler, you got to be serious about it. You got to be in some kind of shape. You know, send your athletic history, stuff like that. Webmaster at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. We're going to talk to Bruce Hart about that next week. We're going to figure out a date on when the winner will be chosen. And he wants to train as many people as possible. He wants to really get this, this Hart Brothers University going. And you can also purchase Hart Brothers University T-shirts as well as Pro Wrestling Powerhouse T-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com. If you want to support the show, literally the best way to do it is to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP, purchase one of our T-shirts, and that's your literally your best way to give back to the show. We give you a T-shirt, you make a purchase, it's a win-win situation, and we would thank you so much. So let's move on with the show, Toph, and it's me and you tonight. We're going to move into TNA Wrestling. We briefly started talking about TNA earlier, and this notion that TNA is getting, is going, is up for sale, or going to get sold, or the Carters are trying to get offers for the company, it's really telling on how the company is doing at the moment, regardless if the rumor is true or not, because when there's smoke, there's usually fire. But the company is just coming off Bound for Glory. Last Thursday night, they had what I thought was a really weak showing on Impact. It was a very promo-heavy show. We didn't get the first bit of wrestling action until 40 minutes into the show, which to me is just unbelievable. Especially for TNA, just unbelievable, because you're a wrestling company, first and foremost. That's what TNA is. And to not get any wrestling, it just kind of drove me nuts. But it's a show that, you know, I was on Twitter, I was on Facebook, you and I were talking about it, Toph. There were differing opinions, but the majority of the people that I was conversing with had the same opinion that they were kind of weak last Thursday at Impact. But they did set the table for the future, where AJ Styles now is the World Heavyweight Champion, and he has seemingly left the company with the title. Rumor broke today that he's going down to AAA in Mexico to defend it at some point in time. But, Toph, we got Impact coming up next week, It's a taped show. What are your thoughts on the direction that TNA is going after Impact last week?
I feel like it was going in a great direction. I'm glad Hogan's gone. I'm glad the title's off Bully. I'm glad that they're doing something with the tag team scene. Still shocked at the bromance, but in a good way. Good team, just didn't really expect them to put the titles on them. You know, they just need to do something about the X Division, and they need to figure out whether or not they want to just go ahead and disband the Knockouts Division and possibly revive it later. But they need to do something with the X Division. That's the bread and butter, especially if they're going to bring back the Six Sides. Have you heard about that? There's rumors the Six Sides coming back.
I did hear about it. I saw that they there was a layout. But for some reason, the layout was in 2015. Like, that was the date on
yeah.
it. That, for me, was kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's the typo. It's the typo, that's all.
Okay, so it was a typo. So if they're going to bring back the Six Sides, that's smart. That's awesome. I think that might be a way of – I think when they work it into the storyline, because if you're going to bring back that ring, you need to work it into the storyline. You can't just, like, bring it back and say, oh, you know, here it is. Dixie Carter's going to come out.
Yeah, I heard originally –
Go ahead, Dave.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
I heard originally – I read a long time ago that the plan was for Hogan to destroy – the six-sided ring, but according to what I read at the time, they didn't think that that would go over well with the fans, so it was canceled. That's what I read.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. I'm not sure if there's
any
truth to that
or
not.
I would assume that it's going to be something along the lines of Dixie Carter trying to get AJ Styles to come back. So she starts to try to, you know, suck up to the fans a little bit. Because she's a heel, but she's not really doing heel stuff that much. She's kind of like acting still like that nice, you know, Southern girl and everything. But she's kind of going back and forth a little bit with it. And I think she's going to try to play to the fans, try to get AJ Styles to come back to TNA Wrestling and bring the strap back to her. So she's going to make subtle changes to the show. She's going to go back to the roots because that's what AJ's been talking about. He's been talking about those X-Division guys that have built the company. I wouldn't even be surprised to see some of those guys eventually come back, like a Jay Lethal. Well, not Jay Lethal. He's with Ring of Honor. But, whoever, Sanjay Dutt, whatever. And you bring these guys back a little bit of time to maybe for Dixie to say, oh, AJ, you know, y'all should come back here with my belt. And I think bringing back the six-side ring would be smart in that aspect. Say, hey, AJ, look what we did for you. We brought back your six-sided ring. And, a lot of people have talked about the six-sided ring, said it's a damn pain in the ass to work. And I don't know because I'm not a wrestler, but it would be an adjustment period, of course, for a lot of those wrestlers when they come back and get that six-sided ring again. But, hey, that's why you practice, you know. But you think the direction's going pretty good. I think the direction's okay. It's definitely different. All new champions. But when you mention the X Division, I actually like it. And they didn't really bring it up at all in Impact last week. I'm sure it'll be focused on this week. Again, I don't read any spoilers, so I don't know. But with Chris Sabin now as a heel, and he's being a jerk, and he's finally got something to do, I think that's a good basis for the X Division. I think it's kind of smart because not only do you have a great X Division wrestler who is a new heel persona, but he also can work in a whole different way. He's not going to be doing the same old babyface moves. He's going to be working as a heel, and I think that's a good route to go. What do you think, Dose?
Well, that's what I've been saying to a lot of people that have been disappointed with Saban's run so far. Going into the Destination X, well, not Destination X, going into the Ultimate X match at Bound for Glory, I knew that Saban was going to win because everybody else in the matches were babyfaces. And you need to have a heel to win the title so the babyfaces can chase the heel. And because Saban is a heel that is, you know, being cowardly using Velvet, he's not going to do the crazy stuff that he used to do with the Motor City Machine Guns. That's why it wasn't that the finish was weak. It's just that's what a heel does. They do cowardly stuff. It's like when you're having a ladder match and, you know, the heel has a valet and the heel orders the valet to climb the ladder and get the belt instead. So, you know, on one hand, I think it's smart because it's giving the X Division a heel. Because, you know, when the X Division was at its peak, you know, like during its glory days, it was when it had a top heel. There was Senshi or Loki when he was, you know, beating up everybody. There was Samoa Joe and his undefeated streak where he was just destroying everyone when he was undefeated. And then you have Douglas Williams, who I think is a very underrated talent that fans forget about. But I thought Douglas Williams had a good run because he was like the anti-X Division guy where he had the belt, but he didn't use any of those crazy high-flying moves. So whenever the X Division has this really annoying or just overheel, that's when the X Division seems to be at its best. So, you know, giving the belt to Saban is a good choice, but I just think that fans need to realize that by having Saban as a champion, he's going to be an unconventional type of X Division talent. Like, sure, like, you may see a few high-flying moves every now and then, but, you know, because of his two ACL injuries and because of him being a heel, you know, it's not going to be how it was. You know, I think fans look at Saban and they expect to see the Motor City Machine Gun stuff, but, you know, that's not going to happen unless Alex Shelley comes back, which would be cool, but I don't think it's happening.
Oh, Alex Shelley, I read him on Twitter. I read his tweets and stuff. He seemingly is having a blast over in Japan. If he's happy in Japan, probably making great money out there, getting to work a completely different style than they do over here in the United States. I think he's great out there. But, yeah, I think there's unlimited potential with Chris Sabin as a heel at this point, man. And they need to keep the focus as much as it, you know, doesn't really make sense from a wrestling perspective. They need to keep the focus on the angle with Velvet Sky as much as possible, even if it's just worked into every single thing that Saban does, every match, and just kind of work it in subtly just a little bit, because she is so freaking hot. She's just smoking, and she might be the hottest valet in all of wrestling right now. So they really have to keep that camera on her, keep the focus on her a little bit at a time, make the fans know that, hey, you know, Velvet Sky, this chick can possibly lead to his downfall. Or maybe she turns heel too, because we haven't really seen her as a heel in a long time, and she could be a great heel. So I like the idea of Chris Sabin being that submission champion. I think it holds true for the future. And plus, I know we're not getting an update for our Fantasy Wrestling League, Toph, although I am destroying everybody right now, and that's fine. But him being X-Division champion only helps me. So, but continuing with our TNA talk here, Mr. Anderson made his return to TNA Impact. I was about to say the Impact Zone. We'll be saying that in a few months, but not quite yet. But, yeah, TNA just brought back Anderson. They signed him to a new contract. What are your thoughts on them bringing back Anderson into the fold, Toph?
Anderson's just one of those guys I'm just kind of neutral about. I know he has his fans. There's a lot of them out there. They're out there. I'm just kind of neutral on Anderson. I don't like him. I don't dislike him. I just think that he's average. He's had some good matches. Clearly, he's not as injury-prone as he was in WWE. His in-ring ethic has gotten a little better. And, you know, he's okay in the ring. My beef with Anderson is, it's like, your character needs to evolve. You know, every character evolves at some point. And Anderson doesn't. Like, his gimmick is he's an asshole. And it's like, okay, I get it. And because of that, he can easily transition between face, heel, tweener at all times. But you see where I'm coming from? Like, if there's his character, it doesn't change. Kind of like Cena, almost. But the thing is, Cena, even though his character doesn't change, when he's forced to, you know, he does say different things, and he'll do something different, you know, just to show the fans, hey, you know, by the way, you say I can't wrestle, well, here's a Hero Corona for you, you know, like, Mr. Anderson's just kind of like, you know, I can't really say it's a good move or a bad move, I can't really say much about Mr. Anderson. He's just sort of whatever for me, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about his character. I think they've tried to change it at times, but they always end up going back to the same old thing. It's kind of, I always look back, and this is the most famous one ever. You look back at Stone Cold Steve Austin when he tried to turn heel and they tried to change him. They tried to make him goofy and funny, but then what they do, they came back to what he used to be, and then they kind of mixed that goofy, funny side in with the what and all that stuff. I think that's kind of what they need to do with Mr. Anderson. You know, he's kind of been funny and goofy his whole entire career. He's always had that sarcastic asshole gimmick, even when he was in WWE, you know what I mean? It was the same type of deal. I think they might have to bring maybe a more dark side out of him. I thought they were trying to go that route with Ace and Ace, but it came right back to the same old thing. I'm glad he's back. I didn't really like the way they did it, though. I thought they could have maybe segmented it a little better, if you get what I'm saying, paced it a little better. The pacing for that first segment, in my opinion, was just a little bit too much for me. So they could have done it maybe, I think it probably would have had a bigger pop if they did it later in the show, and he came out during the match, and that was the first time you saw him, instead of him getting arrested, having to go to the police station or whatever, and then predictably him coming back out and causing the chaos in the main event. If they would have literally just brought him out then, there would have been a bigger pop, would have meant more. But with that being said, all the star power they can get, I guess, in TNA is the way to go at this point. But my whole beef with TNA, and I sound like a broken fucking record, is these little mistakes they make when it comes to, you know, show pacing, segmenting, not getting all your talent on the card. I know it's a point to kind of like, because a lot of these guys are pay for appearance. I know it's a point to kind of spread them out through the tapings, because when you go to Salt Lake City and you're doing a double shot, you know, if they see Jeff Hardy during the first hour, they might not during the first show, they might not react the same way to him in the second show. And that goes for pretty much everybody else. I know you're going to see Bully Ray and AJ on both shows, but that's just how it is. But I think when you're trying to build a brand and trying to, you know, beef up the marketing aspect of it and all that kind of stuff, you really need to focus on your big stars and keep it consistent. You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't see Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy and Chris Sabin on the Impact after Bound for Glory. We saw a lot of guys. Don't get me wrong. We saw all those tag teams. We saw Bully. We saw AJ in two segments, whatever. Actually, we saw AJ in freaking, I think, three or four different segments that night. But if they can kind of build a little bit of momentum and string shows together, there's no reason why they can't dig themselves out of this supposed hole. But guess what, Toph? With all this being said, with me disliking the show last week, I'm sure it'll be a lot better this week, but with me disliking the show, they still popped the biggest rating that they have in a long time. Do you think that rating bodes well for the future of TNA, or do you think it's a one-night pop because of their being a after Bound for Glory type show?
It was the same thing in 2010 after Jeff Hardy went heel and, you know, they were revealed, you know, and they did the whole Immortal thing. I remember, like, that whole Impact was just, like, mostly talking, and that was, like, one of their highest-rated Impacts they ever had. I forgot the precise rating. But we'll have to see. I do think that Hulk Hogan's absence, you know, the dirt sheets claiming that Bischoff might be done as far as a creative standpoint is concerned, Bully Ray dropping the title and, you know, they going back to AJ Styles, he has a big fan base. I do think that these are good signs. I mean, just look at who are the champions right now. You got Gail Kim, who's a Knockouts champion. You got the Bromans, who's a tag team champion. You got AJ Styles as the world champion. And you got Chris Sabin as the X Division champion. I mean, by all extensive purposes, this is really a reboot of the product. And, you know, Hogan's gone, and you have this heel Dixie Carter. It's like a reboot almost. It's like a whole the entire complexity and the roster and just the pacing of power, everything has changed. So I do think that, you know, this is a general interest of fans, you know. So it could be a one-night-only thing, but I do – or should I say it could be a one-week-only thing, but I do think that there's a rebooting of the product right now, and I think that that is causing some interest of fans giving, you know, Impact to second, third, fourth, for how many other chances they've given it, so.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's all about building that momentum and keeping with it. Being gone and Hogan being gone, that kind of opens up the speculation. Is Bischoff done with professional wrestling, or do you think we'll see him pop up somewhere in the future, maybe even back in the WWE? What do you think about that, Toph?
Yeah, I respect Bischoff, you know, being a WCW guy. No one ever can say that they caught, as Sean Waltman would say, no one can ever say that they caught the beast and not necessarily tamed it, but whipped it in the cage for about 2 years. No one can say he got one as over on Vince as Eric Bischoff did. So, you know, Eric, you know, he has a great mind for the business, and I respect him. My only beef with him creatively is that he's still stuck in 1997, which is a great year in wrestling, 97, 98, but it's 2013, you know, this whole faction, like there's all these, some type of faction thing in TNA, have you noticed that? It's like TNA,
oh, yeah,
they rely too much on factions. Yeah,
yeah,
TNA relies too much on factions, and WWE relies too little, you know?
Yeah, even with Russo, even when Russo was booking it, it was all factions, you know? It wasn't even a Bischoff thing, it was Russo too, and it's been that way since pretty much the beginning. There's always factions and everything, and that to me, it's good to have a faction every once in a while. It's not good to have them all the time and then be the complete focus of the entire company. And I think with Aces and Eights kind of winding down, I believe it's winding down. I don't think they'll gain size and numbers anytime in the near future. But it did its purpose. It got Bully Ray over. I think they might be heading towards not having a big faction running the show, you know?
That would be good. They need to go like at least 6 months without a faction. That would be like a huge breath of fresh air in TNA. You know, earlier you were talking about the pacing of the tapings. One thing that I really wish they would stop doing, I don't think it's stupid, but I wish that they would stop this WCW Nitro format, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You remember how Nitro started, and it was like, the whole entire NWO, well, not necessarily the whole entire, it would be like the B team or the Wolfpack, they would come out, you know, cut a promo, you know, somebody would interrupt them, and then that would lead to a match like somewhere in like hour two or hour three, and then it would just be like regular wrestling, and then hour two, but mostly wrestling, and hour three would start off with a promo from like Hogan or like Savage or somebody. So many Impacts starts off with a promo from Bully Ray or from Dixie Carter. It's like it starts off the exact same way every week. And they've really overused Bully too much. I remember there was one Impact where it started off with Bully coming out. He cut a promo. Then soon after that, there was a backstage segment, and then, like, Kurt Angle came out, and he had, like, some segment with, like, Rampage Jackson, and then Bully Ray came out again, and then there was another backstage segment with him, and then he had a match later on. I mean, you've seen him, like, four times already before he has his match. When you see the same guy that many times, it kind of kills the crowd, you know? They need to stop doing that. I wish that Impact would just start off strong with a wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like, start off with an X Division match. Start off with a knockout match. Start off with a tag team match. Like, you don't have to start off with a promo. I think all this is Hogan's influence, because it was sort of like that when Hogan when he joined TNA, all of a sudden there was just more and more promos, because it wasn't like that before. I just wish that they would start off more with wrestling and not start off with a promo every week. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but they just seem to start off a promo like every week. They've been doing this for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed. You got to switch it back and forth. Like, even Monday Night Raw, they switch it back and forth all the time. You know, wrestling shows have stereotypically started with a promo, regardless of what show it is, SmackDown, Raw, Impact, whatever, Nitro, Thunder. They've started with a promo for the better part of 15 years now, for the most part. But occasionally, you need to switch it up. You got to start off with some wrestling action. You ask any old-school wrestling fan, and they will tell you that they want to see wrestling action right away. That's what they want to see. I would much rather – I get pumped up for wrestling more when there's a match first on the card than when there's – you know, and then you go to your promo as a second segment. It's all about the pacing. It's all about the segments. You could ask any booker, man, and I've watched those booker shoot DVDs. I remember listening to Gabe Sapolsky, who's now the booker of Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. He's a former Ring of Honor booker for many years. And he used to talk about the pacing, how, like, critical it is for a show. You need to know how long your segments are going to go. You need to not overexpose talent. You need to keep some guys protected, hide guys' weaknesses in certain parts of the show and stuff like that. So that's where TNA sometimes needs to, you know, really rein it in and figure out what the hell they're doing. I don't even know who's booking it right now. Do you know who's writing the show? Who is it, Lagana? Dave Lagana, is he writing it right now?
Nobody knows. It seems like they're changing every single week and stuff. But, yeah, I'll have to get back to you on that. Times like this makes me wish I had a job, because I'm pretty sure I could do a better job than they are doing right now. But you were talking about the pacing. I'm not sure if you recall this, but I remember one of the best Raws I ever saw. I enjoyed it greatly. It was the opening Raw, the very first Raw of 2011, and it was John Morrison versus The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the WWE title. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, man. That was a great match. I actually watched that. I was on Netflix, and they have the Best of WWE 2011, Best of Raw and SmackDown 2011, and they have that DVD, and that's literally the first match on the DVD. So, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I thought that was a good show. Like, you know, first show of the new year. You know, start off with a title match with two guys that we weren't used to in the opener. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, like you say, you know, every now and then you should start off with an action-paced match or something. So, yeah, that's something that Impact needs to work on greatly.
Yeah, no question about it, man. It was, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Impact last week, but this week I'm sure we'll be more wrestling-heavy. We've already got Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode in the rematch announced. And I'm not sure what else is announced, but I'm sure it'll be better than last week, and hopefully in 2 weeks when they're back live, they put on a great show, because it's always better when it's live. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's spoiled. Everybody watches and kind of wants to see what's going to happen fresh. They have a fresh mindset going into it. But we're going to wrap this show up tonight. I actually want to get to the gym and get a little bicep workout into it. If you know how it is, got to work the biceps. So I'm going to get to the gym for a little bit, get my ass home, go job hunting tomorrow, hopefully find something full-time and awesome around here. But, yeah, we're going to wrap this thing up, man. Any final comments tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, Toph?
Yes, to our listeners, if you haven't, please go visit our page and check out this cool picture of Jay Briscoe holding a custom Ring of Honor title. It's a really cool custom belt that kind of reminds me of the Smoking Skull belt. I think you saw it too, Jay.
Yeah, I did. I posted it on facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Yeah, really cool title. Really cool picture, and Jay Briscoe's badass, man. He's definitely one of my favorite wrestlers. I played a little joke on him on Twitter recently, and I was like, man, it's a shock that the Briscoes have never even been in TNA. What the fuck are they doing? And he just, like, tweeted me back just laughing, you know, so that was pretty funny to me.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely head over to, I don't know if you noticed, though, but I did some advertising. I did some Facebook advertising with help from Crazy Bill Shannon. We did some Facebook advertising on facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and the likes jumped like crazy. And that's how you have to do it now. You know, Facebook has literally tied your hands behind, tied our hands behind our backs, folks. And unless you pay them money to get your page out there, they aren't going to get your page out there for you. So please go over and like facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse for a whole different experience on PWP. Tons of cool pictures and analysis and different conversations. You could talk to hundreds of wrestling fans on that page. We're almost at 3,000 likes. Can you believe it, Toph? Almost 3,000 likes.
Come a long way. We'll make sure to try to get to, what's the reasonable number? I'll aim for 3,500. No, okay. Maybe that's not too reasonable. All right, let's aim. No, you should always aim high. Fine, I'll aim for 3,500 before New Year's Eve.
I think we can get that because I'm going to do some, I'm going to invest a little money in advertising before every pay-per-view, even if it's only like $5-$10. I'm going to do it. Invest a little bit of money here because the more likes we get, the more people will see our posts, and hopefully the more people will go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com because, guys, that's why I'm doing this. You got to go check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's the best way to support the site, support the show. Head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP. Buy a T-shirt. If you hate the T-shirts, tell me you hate the T-shirts. I'll try to get one up there that you like. But we're going to wrap this thing up. Thanks so much for joining us. Next week, we will have part two of our interview with Bruce Hart. We've got some more topics to discuss with the Hart family member, and we'll talk a little more about Hart Brothers University, kind of where it's at right now in the stages of opening the school up, and where he's going to be in this contest, where we're going to find out who's the winner of the scholarship to Hart Brothers University. So that should be fun. And also next week, we will have another greatest promo ever. We'll have another promo that I'll upload, and we'll talk about that. So for Toph, for all the callers tonight, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it, whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 58. Take it easy, everybody. Keep it real.